It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. 33 degrees on Peachtree. Tune in Monday morning. WSB meteorologist Kirk Mellish will update the winter weather forecast, brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. So let's talk money, investing, what's happening in the world. You have questions, call me here in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. It's Valentine's Day. You still have the rest of the day if you forgot to buy some sort of gift. Consumers will spend $20 billion in Valentine's Day gifts in 2016. So that's a survey from the National Retail Federation. But there's a lot less spending on bling. So we're going to go from spending almost $5 billion down to about $4.5 billion on jewelry. So instead, where's the money going? It's going to movies and restaurants and getting a babysitter so that you can go out to eat. And all of that cost, so restaurants, movies, and babysitters, that those inflationarily have been the biggest gainers, up almost 4% over last year. Jewelry prices are down over 1%. Well, so we're spending less on jewelry, even though it's cheaper. And we're spending more on a night out, even though it's more expensive. I don't know. I think that that has been a theme in America in the last couple of years, as more and more of our dollars as consumers has been going towards experiences. Economists will say, hey, if you're spending money on a restaurant or a bar, out. You're choosing to spend money on an experience as opposed to consuming some sort of tangible item. And there's been a shift over the last year or two. I don't know if there's a great name for this yet. So consumerism, maybe it's going to experience some sort of experience term. I'll have to come up with something that describes this, but we're spending more on things we want to do as opposed to want to buy or get. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're talking about this market as we're in this down. We're still in a downtrend. It's been a difficult start to 2016. No question about it. Investors, I know, are nervous. You're nervous about what's happening around the world. We're in the middle of a very heated election year, an election cycle that isn't going to get any less heated anytime soon on both sides of the political aisle. And it makes for an economy that we continue to question, hey, are we really in okay shape or not? And is this economy about to fall off a cliff? And if it falls off a cliff, we know that these corrections that we know are inevitable and we go through, they get a lot worse. If we're in a bad economy or a recession, corrections usually are not 10 or 15%. They're more like 20 to 30% or even 35%. So they get a lot uglier if the underlying economy itself isn't very good. So if the foundation, if there's a problem with the foundation, then it makes it even more difficult for investors as these corrections turn into be something that are much more than just that. We talked about it in the 9 o'clock hour, and I'll reiterate this today. Where do we head from here when it comes to, are we at a breaking point? So what does this market do? Today, we're down close to 15%. If we look at some of these other areas of the world, the Russell 2000, if you're looking at small stocks, but still 2,000 of them, which is a big number, that index itself is down about 25% and has been down for 185 days. The average bear correction for that index is about 21% and usually lasts 163 days. So we're both in duration and decline in it's been longer and a bigger drawdown than we have even seen historically. So we're in a pretty difficult market here. The S&P 500 itself has actually held up pretty well relative to all these other indices, but still close to that negative 15% range. The one of the research calls I had this week that I put a fair amount of stock in. Again, nobody has a crystal ball. You can pay $1 million a year to a research team, and they're still not going to tell you what's going to happen over the next month. They can't do it. If you're looking at a group that is very bright, at least the NDR group that I put a lot of stock in, they are the very best and the brightest. But again, they're not clairvoyant. They're excellent students of history. So their message this week in a conference call this on Friday with them is that we're in this secular, we're still in an overall long-term uptrend. And if that continues to happen, the drops that we experience, that we go through, are in the 15 to 19% range. They're in the 35% correction range if you're in a secular bear market, meaning a really long-term, prolonged period of bad or nasty markets. A lot like we were in from 2000 to almost to 2010. So we had that decade of time where we had a crash in 2000-2001. We had another crash in 2007-2008-2009. That was a secular bear, meaning that we had effectively a decade where the market did nothing but go up, straight back down, up, straight back down. And if you looked over a period of time, if you looked at March of 2009, before the market really rebounded, or what technically has started this long-term bull market back in March of 2009, we had the decade before that was just a really tough time for stocks. A lot of people just gave up because it's very difficult to have the patience where stocks are effectively not doing a lot and creating a lot of havoc, violently flat. Takes a lot of patience to continue to be involved with that and not give up. And that's why that decade of 2000 to 2009, kind of a lost decade for stocks. Now, if we go into a long-term bear market, which I don't think we're going into, then these corrections can be much more severe than where we are right now. So the question is, are we in a recession or not? So let's think about that. Let's go in and look at what this economy is, or where we are economically. I go back to CHIME, which is my economic acronym, CHIME. So if we look at the main components of the economy, I've got to look at the first letter is C, consumer confidence. And I just did an update this weekend on what these indicators are flashing. So C for consumer confidence, how's the consumer doing? How's consumption in America? Well, we just talked about it as a small example, Valentine's Day spending, $20 billion holiday. It's going to be up year over year. So we're out there spending money. We may be changing how we're spending. It may be more experiential, maybe that's the word, spending, as opposed to material spending. But the consumer is doing well. University of Michigan Sentiment Index at 92.93, which is a pretty high level. Retail sales, solid in January. Retail sales and food service, again, experiences, up 4% year over year. That's a big number in an economy our size. Housing, H in CHIME. Housing starts, 1.2 million. That's a real number. Remember, it dropped to under 500,000 in the darkest days of the recession. Case-Shiller Home Price Index. How's the price of your home doing? Well, nationally, that's still in an uptrend and has been in an uptrend all the way since 2010. Existing home sales at 5.5 million, continuing to be in an uptrend. How about the I in CHIME? Well, that stands for inflation and interest rates. Both are in a zone where I'd give it a green light. They're both low and inflation is contained. We're not going into deflation anytime soon. And interest rates are low and manageable. M for manufacturing. Well, that is not a bright spot. So manufacturing doesn't look good. We measure manufacturing on an index scale, really from 0 to 100, but 50 is the median line. If you're below 50, manufacturing is contracting. If you're above the 50 line, that means manufacturing in America is accelerating. We're below the 50 line. So we're in manufacturing contraction, which is not necessarily a good thing. So not all signs point to economic bliss. That's why we're in this tenuous period of time where we don't know exactly which way this will break. E, C-H-I-M-E, E for the job economy and earnings. Well, we know that earnings are okay. They're not fantastic. They're muddled because we have energy companies their profits have been slashed, and many energy companies are losing money. As a group, the S&P 500, energy is a big chunk of that group. So it's really difficult to take out just energy earnings and say, well, everybody else is doing great. It's just energy, because energy touches so many other industries. But in general, earnings could be flat this year, could be slightly up for the S&P 500. That's important. It's not, and it doesn't look as though it's terrible, but it also isn't fantastic. When it comes to the job economy or employment, those numbers still look pretty good. So the JOLTS, which stands for Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, that came out this week. The number of job openings continues to tick up and has steadily since 2009, if you look at a chart at it. And quits, or meaning that when people say, hey, I'm out of here, you've got to have confidence to be able to quit a job. You're only quitting a job if you think you can go get another one. And that continues to tick up. Jobless claims remain low. So the employment situation is actually, and again, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. It's not just one number. It's not just how many jobs were added last month. That's not the only number to look at. You've got to look at all these other economic indicators that revolve around employment. And the answer here is that in totality, and it's this economic symphony of data just for employment, let alone for all the other areas of the economy, still looks, if I had to give it a letter grade, I've been giving it a B plus last year. I'd probably give it a B right now where we stand. So the fundamental underpinnings of the economy, if I look through CHIME, C-H-I-M-E, they're still in to give it a letter grade, still in B. I'll get some emails. People say, Wes, you're crazy. The economy is really a C minus or a D. And that's fine. But where I, as I look through all of the economic numbers that add up to, well, what's the totality of the evidence? To me, it's still in the pretty good camp. So it's in the B range, if you will. It's not a C, it's not an A, but a B. You are listening to Money Matters Calls straight ahead right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. Let's go to the phones here. Several calls on hold. We've got a Jack indicator. Jack, good morning. Welcome to the show. How can we help?
Yes. I hold some gas, GAS, 800 shares. I'm going to get about $50,000.
GAS, by the way, for our listeners, that's Atlanta. That's really AGL Resources.
Yeah, but the symbol is GAS.
GAS, correct. Yep.
How do I invest that? Certainly, Southern Company is not going to double their dividend. I'm getting now $1,600 a year in dividends. Where do I go to get $1,600 to $1,800?
Oh, good. Okay, this is a good question. So, Jack, a couple quick things for our listeners. Jack is asking, so AGL Resources, the natural gas company, is getting purchased by Southern Company. It was a deal announced last August, I want to say. Back then, the stock was trading for about $47. The deal is supposed to give you $66 in cash. So if you own a share of AGL, or symbol GAS, you're going to get $66 in cash. Jack's saying, well, I get a nice 3%. In fact, it yields about 3.1 today. I get a nice 3% yield. Where do I replace that now that it's just going to be in cash? By the way, if it's in an after-tax account, I have several questions this morning about the same thing. You're going to get, it's going to be a taxable transaction, because your stock is going to get turned into cash, and if you have a gain from where you bought it, you'll have a capital gain. So you've got to look at it that way. If it's in an IRA, it doesn't matter, because it's all under the shelter of an IRA. Question, though, Jack is saying is that, hey, I've got this stock that's been paying me over 3% yield, and it's getting purchased by a company. I'm not going to get Southern Company shares. I'm just going to get cash. So I got to reinvest it to keep having income. The simple answer, the way I'd look at this, is if you want to stay with the utility space, then just own the utility ETF, the SPDR, XLU. If you look at XLU, that's 30 of the big utility companies all under one roof or in one basket, and the yield on that is over 3%. So you won't go backwards. In fact, it's about 3.5%. So you won't go backwards with the amount of income you're receiving. You are listening to Money Matters. News weather.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Mellis weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
And we're back. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. I guess the news in the Moss family, we finally had that fourth kid. We didn't know what it was going to be, boy or girl. Turns out it's another boy. So I have four sons now, four boys. Doesn't that just sound a little crazy? My poor wife. Anyway, so we're back to having an infant in the house, which I totally forgot how difficult that was. And it's really not even, it's much, much harder for Lynn. I mean, it is when a baby doesn't sleep at night and they're up every hour or two, it is brutal. And this is not even me. I mean, I got to sleep most of the night. I get up, you know, wake up, but she's the one feeding the baby. And it's just crazy how much work that is for her. So she obviously deserves a big Valentine's Day present. So that's what's happening in the Moss household today. Samuel Haynes Moss. Haynes is my middle name. That's how he got that. And it's our fourth boy. So thank you for the emails and the Facebook comments and congratulations. And it'll be a wild, fun ride. But I appreciate all the sentiments. Anyway, good morning. You tuned in to Money Matters. Tune in tomorrow morning, by the way, WSB meteorologist Kirk Mellish update on the potential change in the weather tomorrow morning. We need to stay tuned for that. Of course, that's brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Also, in Tuesday morning's AJC, my column it's the front page of the living section in AJC every other Tuesday morning. So this Tuesday will be it's an article I wrote about how hobbies make you richer. How does a hobby make you richer, Wes? Well, I wrote about it in the AJC. I was going to talk about it here on the show. It has something to do with some of the research I have for my book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, The 5 Money Secrets of the Happiest Retirees in the World, that has been out now for this spring. It'll be 2 years, but it seems like it came out yesterday. And I continue to get emails and talk with folks all over the country that still are reading and finding out about You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think for the first time. And it's exciting. So I continue to write about that research and how it impacts our lives and how it impacts our retirement planning and all the things that we're trying to do so that we can stop working, not because we don't want to work anymore, but because we are financially in a position to do so. That's what all this is about. That's what Sunday mornings here and Money Matters is all about. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go to the phones here. Kelvin joins us from Atlanta. Kelvin, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help, my friend?
Thank you. And congratulations on the newbie.
Thank you.
And happy Valentine's. And, I have a question for you. I'm 51 years old, divorced. I have a small low-risk 401k match investment with my employer, and been with them for a while, and I'm looking at my situation as I head towards retirement, which I'd like to do maybe at 65, and considering, you know, with the economy and then, you know, having the 401k and then just my regular savings that I'm investing. You know, what's going to be, in your opinion, someone in that type of, income bracket and working, and just basically working, still been working ever since I was 18 years old. But by the time that I'm 65, you know, looking at Social Security as, possibly my main source of income and maybe the 401k once I pull that out, you know, what will be my best path to financial security by the time that I do retire, you know, just short of hitting the lottery or something.
Just short of the lottery. Well, you're right. This is interesting to think about. Now, the first thought here is this. I wrote one of the stories that I have in You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. It's about a family who I vividly remember having them tell me this story that They had, and this is in their late 40s, so not that different from where you are. Late 40s, the husband and the wife, they're over talking about their finances over the dinner table. They had $32,000 saved in their late 40s. That's really when they got started. Now, the kids had finally got there out of the house or finished school, and their income had continued to slowly go up over the years. They weren't able to save a lot, but they hit this period of time where, hey, now they can save more. They can really accelerate all this. And they got to the point where they ended up retiring with over $1 million without hitting the lottery, to your point, Calvin.
Wow.
And
wow.
And now it still took 15, really clawed 18 years. So it still took a long period of time. It's from 10 years, 40, think of it, 48 to 58 to 65. So you've got, and this is your same situation here. If you don't retire till 65, if you're 50, you have 15 years, man. That's a long time. It may not feel like there's that much time because you feel behind and you think, oh man, I don't have that much time to get this moving, but you do. That's a decade and a half. And if you sock away 15 grand a year, you're saving almost a quarter of $1 million by the time you're 65. And that's without any growth at all. That number could be 350 or 400,000 by the time you get to 65 if you just started from scratch today. And part of the reason we don't get started is that it seems so difficult starting fresh that you kind of quit before you even get started. And I think that that's 90% of the barrier that we all have as investors is that you don't really see that compounding momentum until the latter stages of this game. Warren Buffett talks about compounding is the greatest force in the universe. Albert Einstein talks about compounding is the greatest force in the universe. But you can't see it if you're compounding $1,000. And sure, it's easy for Warren Buffett to say when he's compounding how many billions of dollars. What is important, though, is to understand that it's going to take some time. And when you get to the point where you've now saved 200 or 300 or 400,000, then, hey, compounding really works for you. So my thought here is that you psychologically have to come to the realization that it's going to take time. And it's a long-term sport of discipline. And if you can now, if you have the 401k, like you said, it's the only thing you can do to make it work in the long run in order to supplement your Social Security. If you've been working all these years, that's not going to be an insignificant amount, by the way. But in order to supplement right. that, probably call it $2,000 a month that you're going to get, maybe more, maybe a little less, probably more. You've got to be able to maximize your savings today and then take advantage of that free match that you get today. And if you do that over 15 years, it can really add up to a lot of money. Remember the $1,000 a month rule. So it's a rule of thumb that I like to use to help people really understand the accumulation phase and then the distribution phase, meaning that today, if you can accumulate $240,000 for every $240,000, it's close to being able to produce $1,000 a month in your retirement. So if that can be your goal, hey, let's at least get to that checkpoint by the time you're 65, then you've got your social of $2,000 a month and then another $1,000 a month coming from savings. So that now you're at least $3,000 a month. And if you have your mortgage paid off, then that's actually can be a pretty good situation to be in. And that's if you don't have even have a lot of growth from today all the way into your 65. I'm just talking about the sheer money you putting away inside that 401k plus the match. And if you can do that and just go to your employer, go to your HR department or go online to your 401k and just max that thing out, and you just do it for the next decade plus, it'll be worth a lot of money.
That is such the hardest thing to do, though, because you know what? That's great advice. And my dad, he was like that. He would, basically encourage me, max out. And they're going to match this money. This is free money that your employer is basically giving you. If they're going to match that, then you need to do the max. But the part, and I would always tell him that, you know, that's the hardest thing to do when you have other responsibilities, like, you know, paying the gas bill, paying the electric bill, paying the car note, and it would be nice to eat at some point too, and then, you know, getting back and forth to work. You know, that money that I'm putting in the 401k towards my future, you know, I kind of need some of that, those funds to go just in, you know, my regular month-to-month expenses. So it's kind of hard to max it out, you know, and still be able to sustain.
I know, and I think there's a song, I think it's a Coldplay song, Nobody Said It Was Easy, or at least there's a lyric in a Coldplay song that always rings in my head when we have these conversations, because it's not. And that's, and you're exactly right. It's not, this is one of these things that if it were that easy, then in America, you'd have all these people skipping towards retirement. Oh, it's I'm 65, I've got plenty of money, I'm going to move to Florida. Well, it doesn't happen very often, right? When you listen to a money show, everybody calls it, hey, I've got a quarter of a million, I've got 2 million. Everybody seems like a Money Matters has got plenty of money. But what's interesting is that that's the sliver of, call it the 1% of America that really does this. Now, here's the reason I think I know that you can still do it. I've met and still work with so many families over the years that as a husband, now here's the other thing. I'm going to give you an example of a husband and a wife. I know it's real tough when you're a single earner. That's tough, Kelvin. If it's just you and you're paying for everything, you've got no economies of scale. And that's why I think if you're a single mom or a single dad, all this math is a lot tougher, because you're not sharing the responsibility of rent or mortgage or food. All that stuff is already difficult. And if it's just on you, it does make it really tough. I can tell you though, I've worked with a lot of families over the years that as a couple, so two income, double income, still never made more than $100,000 a year. So husband making 40, 45, wife making 40, 45, never broke 100 grand a year. Yet still, methodically, zero inheritance here, methodically put as much as they could every month and every year into a 401k. And now I'm talking 20, 25 years later, still ended up with over a seven-figure savings. So I know it can be done. And I think part of it goes back to the fundamentals of you going back and going back to the drawing board and saying, hey, how do we do this? How do I at least get started? It doesn't need to be 25% of your income today, Kelvin, but if you can get to 10, I know you can live with 10, because if you do 10 in your 401k, it automatically is going to reduce your overall tax rate because you have less taxable income. And that in itself will make it so that it's not even a full 10 to you, because you're actually now reducing your overall net money that's going to the government. So not only do you get your savings underway, get the snowball rolling, please. I know you can do it. Sign up, go to your HR department Monday morning and just crank that level at least 10, knowing that maybe next year you get to 15, the next year to get to your get to 20%. I promise you will not be regretful of it. You're listening to Money Matters. Hey, we got a trivia prize pack coming up. We're going to do it in the next segment. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead right here. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We've got to do trivia prize pack. By the way, happy Valentine's Day. Good morning. We've talked about the correction that we're in. Does it turn into a bear market? The jury, of course, is still out. But as long as we don't go into recession, the odds are that it stays a correction and doesn't get any nastier than the 19% level. Now look, we know that these markets can move 2-3% in a day, and there's always new bad news that could come out. But historically, that's what the tea leaves say where we're headed, is that we have a little bit more downside from here. Yes, things could get worse, but do they get tremendously worse? Well, historically, or history would tell us no. Ryan Ely, trivia prize pack time.
The WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to see Hall & Oates Thursday, May 19th at Lakewood Amphitheater. A 60-minute massage from any of the 8 local La Vida locations, and a family 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Atlanta Gladiators game at Infinite Energy Center. This week's trivia question, Hanes, the brand, Hanes.
Hanes.
Mm-hmm. Common name here. Was founded by John Wesley Hanes, and he founded that company using money from the sale of a tobacco business. He sold it to a tobacco company that still exists today. What tobacco company basically funded the starting of Hanes?
And did you give the background on why you're asking about Hanes?
Well, there's a new Moss boy, Samuel Hanes Moss.
A fourth son.
A fourth son to Wesley Hanes Moss.
Baby. I have another infant in the house again. What do you do with that? So many kids.
I really don't know how you do it. It's amazing.
It's Lynn Moss is doing most of the work right now. Look, I'm here hanging out in the studio. And talking about the market. I mean, this is the easy job for me. Anyway, there's a lot coming up this week. You've got earnings, economic numbers that'll continue to come out. We're going to keep an eye on the economy. Make sure we don't go into recession, because if we do, this market gets a lot worse from here. I don't think it will, because I think we stay out of recession at least this year, at least the next 6 months. That's as far as my eye can see. With that, enjoy the rest of this Sunday. Tune in Monday morning for Kirk Mellish's winter weather forecast and the potential for changes in the weather, brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to yourwealth.com, yourwealth.com, or wesmoss.com. Enjoy the rest of this Sunday.